Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and today our topic is going to be about an event that's going to happen here in early December at Highland Mountain Correction Center. There is a women's orchestra there that has been performing a holiday concert for 9 years, and I bet some of you have never heard of it, or maybe some of you have been there and seen it, but today we're going to talk about it, how it got started, who's in it, how does it get funded, where do the instruments come from. And in the studio with me to tell that story, I have Patty Crowfoot, who founded it. Hi, Patty.
Hello.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Thank you.
And Gabby, I heard you called Gabby. I was going to call you Gabrielle. Gabby?
Yes.
Gabby.
Whitfield,
the conductor.
Yes.
So welcome, Gabby.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And to our audience, I just want to say this is an opportunity to call in and participate in the show. We've got a phone number you can call, 550-8433. I'm just wondering, maybe you have questions about this concert, or maybe you have a family member or a friend who's in the concert and you'd love to give them a shout out for this, or maybe you've got an old violin in the back of your closet that you really don't know what to do with but don't want to just throw it away. Well, you know, call up and we can tell you what you can do with it. So I also like to tell people to go to our website, because we did gather some of the stories about this concert that have been written through the years. We'll talk about some of them today. So if you want to go back and read them, we've got the links to them on our website. And we also have a link to Arts on the Edge, which is a 501(c) that supports this effort. So lots of ways to get connected and learn about this women's orchestra. So before we get started, I want to let our listeners know we have some call-in guests. We're going to hear from Dean Marshall, who was the superintendent of Highland Mountain at the time this program began. He's now up in Bethel, but he's going to call in and talk a little bit about, from the corrections point of view, why he said yes, why he thought it was a good idea. And after our break, we're going to hear from one of the players, a young woman who's now left prison, began playing in the orchestra, and has continued her playing outside of Highland Mountain. So we expect to hear from one of the players after our break. So I've got a really good show today. I think we're going to cover some interesting territory and learn some interesting things. So I'd like to start with Patty. Hi, Patty, again.
Hi, Kathleen.
I told you, right, that we were going to sort of begin at the beginning, and I said, who are you, and how did this become your mission? So go back. I've read a couple versions of how this got started. So what's your memory of how this got started?
Well, my memory really correlates with your introduction when you said it was when the dean said, yes, we can. It's been a bunch of yeses from the beginning, from a bunch of people that were in the power, that had the power to make things happen. It really started, I had learned piano as a child, and it's a lonely instrument that you play by yourself. I'm the mother of two children, and my son hit sixth grade, and it was mandatory that he join the orchestra, and he hated it. And I watched him every morning, and I really wanted to be part of that orchestra.
You had piano in your background, but...
Never a stringed instrument, right. So Catherine Hofer, who's the concert master for the Anchorage Symphony, was his orchestra teacher at the time. And I said, can I join the orchestra, the sixth grade orchestra?
And a little taller than everybody else in that class.
A little taller. And she said, sure, to my son's mortification.
Yeah. Would he sit across the room from you?
Yeah. I'd be excited with my instrument every morning, and he'd be like, oh, God.
Not again.
Not again. Yeah. So I played in the sixth grade. I went and played seventh grade orchestra with Stellar High School, and played eighth grade orchestra, and then I ran out of orchestras.
And they wouldn't let you go to high school.
Couldn't go to high school. So I was talking with a friend of mine, Janice Weiss. She was the educational director out at the Highland Correctional at the time. And I said, oh, I need an adult orchestra to play with. And she said, start one. Start one at the prison.
Ooh, that's a challenge.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. And I looked at her and I thought, well, they'll practice. They've got time on their hands.
Yeah, yeah.
So we approached the superintendent, Dean Marshall, and it was a yes, and the rest is history.
Right. Now, one of the clips that we had, were you there in the beginning, Gabby?
I was as an audience member, and then I started as the teacher the second year that it was in existence.
Okay. So we have on our website, alaskapublic.org, Dugan's column, which dates back to 2003. So how did he get involved in helping you out with this project?
A friend of mine who's now on the board of Arts on the Edge, Dana Stabenow, she's a local history Alaska writer, she said, why don't you contact Mike Dugan and get him to do an article asking people to donate instruments?
Mm-hmm.
And he did, and we received lots of instruments, keyboard, violins, violas. We even received one violin that had been purchased from a pawn shop for $50, which upon taking to Peter's violin shop turned out to be a $3,000 instrument.
Whoo!
Yeah.
Whoa.
And so he turned that into four or five violins for us.
Wow. Sold it, and with that money brought
more
violins.
Oh, wow. So that was great. We had a lot of community support to start it.
That's great. Now, I think I read that you had an initial class, and then the next year they graduated to an intermediate level. How do you organize the orchestra? And jump in, Gabby, if you want to. I mean, how many are there?
Well, the original teacher, she had never done it before, and she said, I only want to work with eight people to start out. So we had eight people, and the criterion we put on it was long-term sentences because it's difficult to learn a stringed instrument. They had to write an essay saying why they wanted to do it, and they had to commit to practice and commit to performing in a public concert.
So no bailing at the last
minute. No bailing at the last minute.
No jitters, no performance jitters
right.
allowed.
Uh-huh. So we got those eight, and they stayed with us for the whole year. And so then other people had heard of it and wanted in. And then a couple years later, Gabby joined on, and by that time she said, well, we need to have more than an advanced orchestra. And she divided it up into beginning, intermediate, and advanced.
Yep. So now there's three levels. And there's about 10 to 12 women in each class. So it's
about 36.
Yeah, it's around 30 to 35 is usually what it runs. Yep.
Right. And so an inmate, do they still write an essay today to get?
They do, yep. They still apply and write a short little essay of why they should be there.
And what kinds of things do people say?
A lot of people say that they just don't want to spend their time in jail doing time. They really want to do something productive. They heard about it through friends that are already in the orchestra, and they want to be part of that community. And a lot of them have played at least some kind of instrument, you know, before getting into jail. And so they know a little bit about music, and some of them have even studied string instruments before.
So you get a varying degree of ability. You might get somebody who's done none,
mm-hmm.
somebody who was in, like along with Patty in elementary or junior high orchestra. Have you ever gotten somebody who's actually really, really skilled?
Yeah. Once or twice we've gotten somebody who's, I mean, not playing at a professional level, but playing at a pretty darn good level, like got up through a pretty high level in high school
mm-hmm.
and then hadn't played since high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps us a lot because it really boosts the level of music that we can play for the concert, and whatever their ability is rubbing off on everybody else around them.
Right. It's like the water lifts all boats or something.
Exactly.
Like that. And I do know that there are Anchorage musicians who participate. I recognized a few faces up there. One old teacher of mine, Mary Shallard, I've seen up there. How did that happen? How did you get local musicians to sort of sit in?
Well, after a couple years of the holiday concert, we realized there's a lot of logistics to getting the people out to Eagle River, getting their clearances and everything, and then to expect that, and they come in, and we were just giving them like high school or grade school level music.
Like a recital kind
right.
of. Yeah.
So it was actually Gabby's brilliant idea. We need some ringers. We need to plant them throughout the group for some of the songs
mm-hmm.
to give the audience some really quality music to listen to,
mm-hmm.
to give them a reward for listening to these recitals of 6th and 7th grade musical literature.
Right. Because
right.
I think people were there, I mean, for the process of it, they realize that the women are attempting something great, kind of like when you go to an elementary concert and you're like, well, it's great that they're learning and they're trying, but an hour and a half of, you know, amateur music is kind of a long hour and a half at times. So bringing in the ringers for parts of the concert made it kind of like a variety show and a really great variety.
Yeah, yeah. That's very honest. I mean, you don't try to pretend that it's
right.
more than it is. Yeah. You mentioned logistics, and I thought, by the way, I just want to, if folks have just joined us, I just want you to know that our topic today is the Highland Mountain Women's String Orchestra, and we have the conductor, Gabby Whitfield, and the founder, or one of the founders, Patty Crowfoot. I guess, does Janice Weiss also get
mm-hmm.
called
co-founder.
A co-founder? They're in the studio with me today, and they're giving us some of the history and some of what it's like to have done this project. It's in its ninth year now. So I wanted to because it's kind of a challenge to have it in a prison, I wanted to get that out on the table for our listeners. So if they think, oh, I want to go to this, what does it take to go to this concert? And by the way, the concert is December 8th, right?
Yes.
And I think for the first time, it's two concerts on the same day.
That's correct. We have two concerts on 1:30 at 12:30 and 3:30. And this is the first time. We sold out our concert last year, and we have a heavy, we have a world-renowned cellist, Zul Bailey, performing. So we thought we're probably going to need two concerts this year.
Sure.
So if a person wants to attend, they get a ticket either through CenterTix or our website, www.artsontheedge.org, or Metro Music and Books. And once you get the ticket, though, you have to read the directions, and you have to send your name and your Alaska driver's license number to my email. And then we send the emails into the prison for clearance. Mm-hmm. And then when you arrive, you arrive at the door with your driver's license, and you're on a list, and you get cleared to enter the prison.
And so people really shouldn't come at
the last minute, no.
25 minutes after 12, or let's see, I've got your actual... it's at
12:30
and 3:30. So really, I know I've been there once, and it's a line. So you really should get there at least a half an hour early.
I think 30 minutes early, yes.
So you can comfortably
and don't bring your cell phone. Don't bring your camera. Mm-hmm. Just bring yourself, and there's refreshments, and we can promise you a really good show.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You mentioned Zul Bailey going to be there this year, and I know I've seen a famous cellist there once. I wanted to know, how did you incorporate major artists into this, and what was it like the first time you asked? I mean, do they welcome the chance to do this, or do you do a little elbow twisting, or what?
Yeah.
How does it go?
I think the first time we asked someone was for the 5th anniversary was Linda Rosenthal, because we wanted to do something celebratory for that great anniversary, and we thought she's a famous Alaskan violinist, and so we emailed her, and I really didn't think she was going to say yes, you know, because she's a busy lady, and she said yes immediately, and it was a great concert. We played one of the Four Seasons, and people had a terrific time, and then the year after that, she started kind of telling some of her friends, a lot of friends, through the Sitka Music Festival. And so the next year we had Armin Sajikian, who plays cello with the LA Phil. And he said yes right away. And then he had a friend who played flute. And then the next year, Sandra Kipp played with us. And then Evan Drockman. And we've literally never had a guest say no. And I don't know if it's like the mystique of coming to prison where it's really original. I mean, who does this? Mm-hmm. And also just that they think it's a really important thing to be doing. Mm-hmm. And so no one's ever turned us down. We're really lucky.
Mm. Well, you know, I promise you that Dean Marshall was going to give us a call, and he's actually on the line. Hi, Dean.
Hello. How are you?
You are the former superintendent of Highland Mountain, am I right?
That's correct.
And right now, I think you're calling us from Bethel?
Yes.
So you must be, are you still working corrections up there?
Yes, I am. I'm sitting at my desk as we speak.
Cleaning out your desk? What does that mean?
Sitting.
Oh, sitting at your desk. Got it. Okay, good. I thought you were giving me a mixed message. Anyway, but we're taking you back to your time in Highland Mountain. You were the superintendent there, and I just wondered, how did it surface for you? Did Patty knock on your door? And what were your first thoughts about, oh, wow, a concert in prison? Tell me how it kind of dawned on you.
Well, actually, the person that first brought it to my attention was Janice Weiss, and she was one of the education coordinators there at the time. It wasn't a strange idea to me because we'd had quite a bit of community involvement musically over the years of my career. There was a woman by the name of Natalie Brooks that she's deceased now, but she volunteered for, I guess, for over 30 years and in the facility.
Did she teach music?
She would actually teach piano lessons, and every year they would have a Christmas choir concert, you know, for the inmates. The inmates would practice for that, you know, in the latter part of the year, and then they put on a concert every year around Christmas. And so we're kind of used to musical events, if you will.
So it wasn't so much out of left field for you?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. But they never, you didn't invite the public in. It sounds like those earlier concerts were just for inmates?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Inmates and staff, yes.
So, I mean,
but we've had a number of other activities. There's always been a tremendous amount of community involvement at Highland Mountain. There was a Citizens Advisory Committee for many, many years that very actively participated and monitored program activities. A lot of programs that were designed to help people transition back into the community, and we've always welcomed people from the community to come in and participate and, you know, try to help inmates transition back to the community.
Would you say that that's sort of unique for Highland Mountain, or is it something most prisons try for in your experience with corrections?
Well, I think early on it was probably more unique than not, but I think there are probably a number of different programs across the department now where people from the community actively participate in reformation activities with
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
I think it's something that's notable at Highland for the amount that occurs, though, and the number of people that come in and get involved on a regular basis throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. And when you said yes, what did that mean to you? I mean, Patty just described kind of a complicated process to getting into the concert. So does that mean extra staff for you? Does it mean clearing? I guess it means clearing a lot of license plates numbers or driver's license numbers for making sure, you know, I guess that the right people are coming to the concert. What does it mean on your end?
Part of the clearance process is just, one, checking people for outstanding wants and warrants, finding out if they have, you know, basically a criminal history, if they're on probation, those kinds of things, before you allow them into the facility, making sure you have adequate staff on duty to process people in because they're not, many times, not used to coming into a correctional center. So, and there are things that we don't allow, you know, that they would be able to have in the community, but they can't bring in the facility with them, like a cell phone, things of that nature. And so just planning it out so that you can process people in a timely manner and everything can flow smoothly. But it's not a lot of extra work because, as I said, the staff are really used to having a lot of activities that have community involvement
mm-hmm.
in the facility. So there are extra staff, but it's not problematic.
Yeah. And I actually want to ask, and I want to invite Gabby and Patty to jump in and ask questions or make points, too, if you want. But I was thinking from a perspective of corrections, why is it good to have something like this in the facility? Why would a superintendent really want to say yes? What is in it for inmates?
Well, it fits very well with the mission of the department, which, you know, basically the mission is secure confinement, reformative programs, and supervised reintegration into the community. So part of, you know, reformative programs and secure confinement, it's something that is productive. It keeps people actively involved in doing something that's positive. It exposes people oftentimes to something they've never tried before, a different part of life they haven't experienced prior to coming to prison, and then it's something that many of them choose to continue once they are released back into the community. They've met people that are involved in the music world in Anchorage, if you will, arts and music, and making new friendships, new associations, and just realizing that there's a whole, oftentimes a whole another part of the world that they haven't been familiar with, but something they enjoy and that they desire to continue with. And so those are all positive things in helping people, you know, stay out of jail once they're released.
Mm-hmm. Even when someone's in jail, is it kind of a privilege to be in this orchestra? And does that maybe affect people's behavior somewhat? In other words, they want to be in there.
It's absolutely a management tool. Anything that you have that's an extra benefit while you're in prison, you know, it's all pretty much behavior-based. You know, you have to maintain clear conduct normally to participate in the extra activities. And so people will tend to, if something they're interested in, they'll tend to meet the acceptance level to get into the program and maintain that once they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's positive in that sense. But it also I think, really has some actual reformative value in that people realize that there's something else they can do that they really enjoy that doesn't get them in trouble, that doesn't cause problems with their supervision after release, that doesn't keep them on that same path of going in and out of jail. So that's a real benefit. Mm-hmm. But it's also, a management tool within the prison, whether they choose to continue once they get out or not.
Right. I think last year, were you at Highland Mountain last year still as a superintendent?
Yes, I was.
Because I think you got up and spoke at the, maybe a welcome, maybe. Did you do a welcome?
I believe I did.
Yeah. Is it emotional for you? I mean, do you feel proud? Do you feel anxious? Do you?
Absolutely. I spent a lot of years at Highland, and I'm very proud of the staff and the programs that are there, and the accomplishments of the offenders, many of the offenders that have gone through there. It's a place where people that really want to help themselves are given an opportunity to do that. The staff that generally work there are people that have that kind of passion to see people succeed, and there are many opportunities, both education, substance abuse treatment, sex offender treatment, mental health programs, religious programs, faith-based programs, vocational, educational programs are all there, all things that people can use to better themselves.
Dean, are there other arts-based programs in Highland Mountain? I mean, is there a drawing class, a painting class, a singing class? You mentioned a chorus and piano at one point, but is it right now mostly this orchestra?
I really don't know what's actually going on there right now, so there may be some of those things. There are a lot of people that come up with ideas in the community that they want to try to bring something into the prison to present to the women and give them additional opportunity. So from time, when I left, there was a book club that was very active. They'd actually developed their own and had printed their own a cookbook. Hmm. So there well may be other programs, or maybe someone that's there now could speak to that.
But yeah.
At the time that I left, I'm not aware of any musical programs that didn't fall under Gabby and Patty. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dean, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to call in and kind of give us your perspective. Almost on a decade now of this program. And I usually invite people, what would you like us to leave us with thinking about this from the perspective of corrections?
Well, I would say there's probably, these numbers aren't exact, but probably I would say around 5,000 or so people that are incarcerated in Alaska, probably about 95% will be returning to the community. And as many things that we can do that are positive and productive to help people stay out when they get out, it benefits everybody in the community because, they're going to be your neighbors. They're going to be, in their kids are going to be in school with, your kids. They're going to be attending, maybe sitting next to you or across from you in a concert at the PAC or, shopping at the store, living, down the block. So you want people that are, have pro-social beliefs and that will be good neighbors. And so as much as you can invest and pour into the lives of people that are currently incarcerated, the more it's going to benefit the community later on. So I would just encourage people to see and acknowledge the positive things. You haven't really even scratched the surface of all the positive things that the women at Highland do on a week, a year in and year out basis. There's tons of activities that they're involved in giving back to the community that, don't always, get publicized.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there are many opportunities to volunteer They're always looking for people with the faith-based programs, the correctional ministries, looks for volunteers. There's opportunities to volunteer with, Success Inside and Out with Justice Faith's group. And there's just all kinds of opportunities. Yeah. And it's really fulfilling, I think, for people to be able to pour something into the lives of the people that are incarcerated. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
Okay. Dean, thank you so much for taking the time to call, and have a great day.
Sure.
Thanks.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Dean.
Bye. That was great of him to call and kind of share that perspective. If folks have just joined us, I just want you to know our topic is Highland Mountain, and it's pretty unique women's string orchestra. I'm here with Gabby Whitfield, the conductor right now, and Patty Crowfoot, who was one of the founders. I read in one of the early stories that this was unique, that there wasn't one in the U.S. Did anybody really check that out? I don't know. I didn't.
Oh, I think everybody's Googled it, and there's a prison orchestra over in Venezuela and over in Africa, but we haven't come up with anything in the United States. There could very well be another program, but we're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think choirs are really common because you don't have to buy any instruments, you know?
Yeah.
It's more accessible, but strings are more complicated.
Right, right. I can understand. Let's see. I wanted to ask about. I wanted to cover the topic of where you get your instruments from, and we talked about the Dugan article and how there was an influx. But are you constantly in the search for instruments now?
Yes, most definitely. We've had a lot of donations of violins and violas, but we're always in need, especially of cellos and basses, which are more expensive, and people are less likely, I guess, to donate. But but it's always great if we can come upon those.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And I wanted to ask you, Gabby, we talked about how people can come to this with zero experience or maybe they were in their high school orchestra. So when you're confronted with training them and preparing them for the concert, do you work with some beginning students first, and then do you move on to how do you organize your approach to teaching?
Yes, I have it split up into three levels, and one of the things that helped me be really successful is Dean actually had the idea of starting a mentoring program between the different levels. And so I'll start with the advanced class, they'll do their class, and then they will stay for the intermediate class and sit in with them, play with them, and kind of partner up with less experienced people. And the same thing with the beginners, which really helped with retention because it totally built this whole sense of community. And it's like Proman said, never miss an opportunity to teach, because an opportunity to teach is an opportunity to learn, and they're just learning twice as much by having to explain to their partner, no, this is how you hold your bow, or this is where we are in the music, and they're learning so much more.
It's a buddy system.
Yeah, it really
helps.
I need
that. That's what I'm well, listen, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to come back and hear from Sarah Kaufman, who's holding on the line for us right now, and she's going to tell us what it was like to be in the orchestra and what it's now like to be out in the world, away from Highland Mountain, but coming back in to practice with her colleagues there. So you're listening to Hometown Alaska. This is Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Good afternoon. You're back with Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our topic today is Highland Mountain's Women's String Orchestra, which is preparing for a concert. And if you don't know the date, I'm going to give it to you right now. It's December 8th. It's coming up, and tickets are on sale. And I don't know. You sold out last year, so you might want to think about getting down to get your ticket. I'm sitting in the studio with Patty Crowfoot, who's a founder of this orchestra, and Gabby Whitfield, who's conducting it this year. And we have on the line with us, and we're going to welcome Sarah onto the show. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Thank you for having me.
And we have two of your friends are here in the studio with me, Patty and Gabby. And, you know, it's a unique opportunity for us to hear from someone who's been in the orchestra. We've got the conductor, we've got the founder, we talked to the superintendent, but we really haven't had a chance to talk to somebody who stepped into that orchestra and joined it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how it went for you? You know, what drew you to the orchestra? Were you afraid to do it? Were you, you know, did you have to screw up your courage, or what was it like?
Well, I was a little apprehensive because I started so late in life, and that's definitely daunting, but the idea of being able to do that and have instruction instead of just doing it independently was definitely alluring, and it was challenging at first. Gabby wasn't our first teacher, but essentially she's been the best one. So we've had her.
It's nice to hear, isn't it, Gabby?
I love all my teachers, but I don't know. Gabby is, she's been consistent with us, and her teaching style is, it's easier to relate to and understand. She's just a good teacher.
I was just going to ask you, what is it that she does that works for you so well? I mean, she described earlier that she buddies up her students, so with an experienced and a new student together. Were those some of the things that you experienced, or is it a more personal connection you feel with Gabby?
All of the above. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the respect that she has for us. She's not patronizing, condescending at all, and she's assertive in a very kind way, and we have respect for her. And sometimes that's hard to have respect for somebody, you know, especially in that situation. You're feeling pretty fearful of everybody, but it's comfortable to be around her and receive criticism from her. And that's a hard thing for anybody.
Sure. So. Especially when you're learning something new. You know, you want the constructive criticism, but you also want to be brave enough to try it again.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, you want it to be fun. And if it's not something that you enjoy, and if it's not fun, it's meant to make you happy. It shouldn't be something that you walk into going, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Yeah. And your instrument is the viola?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but Gabby had asked me to play violin, and I didn't want to at first. But actually, after I started playing it, I actually almost enjoyed it better than viola. So who knew?
Yeah, so actually you can play both of those. And I guess that's kind of typical. People can play, go back and forth.
Yeah, and it really helps in our group because sometimes if someone gets out of jail or they go into solitary or something, we all of a sudden don't have a bass player or something. And so if people play multiple instruments, then it can really cover some holes up.
Right. So multifaceted players is a good thing.
It really is in the string world, yeah.
Yeah. So it gives
you a better understanding of the other instruments, too. If you're just playing just your instrument, you don't really have good relatability, or you don't really understand how difficult it might be for the other player.
Right. You're sort of walking in their shoes a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you are no longer at Highland Mountain. You're out, but you're going to be in this concert. Is that right?
Yes.
And you've been practicing with the orchestra.
Yes, when I can get out there. I don't actually have a car right now, so it is kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm. She's been coming about once every other week, and I think it's remarkable that she would be brave, that someone would feel positively enough about prison that be like, yes, I'm going to come back there and support my friends and go back into this place that housed me for so long. It's really inspiring to me.
Right. And I wanted to ask you about that, Sarah. What was it like going back in when you didn't have to?
I don't know. I mean, it was fine, I guess, because I was so used to that place for so long. I know that sounds unusual, but my friends are there, and it was a good experience, actually, because I knew I could leave.
that's the big difference. Right. You've maintained close ties there then, huh?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of those women are like family to me. We help support each other through really hard times. And in that place, It's unique because when you're out here, you don't get the opportunity or the chance to reflect on yourself and what you like and what you don't like, and to help yourself become a better person in there. That's what you do, and you have peer support to do that.
It's a really unique kind of boot camp, I guess, that you live through together, and it's a unique relationship you have with those other women. But now you're out in the world. What are you doing? Are you continuing with your music?
Yes, actually, I'm a part of that orchestra there at Highland, and I'm also a part of a community orchestra with Patty. So we go there together. In fact, we have a concert coming up for that as well. So
when is that?
That's on the 4th.
Wow.
It's kind of like a recital. It's going to be for friends and family. Anyone's welcome to go, but essentially it's just something that we're doing for ourselves out here. And it helps me maintain my skill.
So Patty and I were talking, my big problem, I tried to learn fiddle and violin, and it's the practicing. So are you maintaining your practicing even though you're not in a sort of, you know, sort of structured environment that would maybe insist that you practice at certain times?
Well, it's independent. You can practice if you want to. There's no pressure. And out here, it's the same way. But for me, it's hard with time frames because it's a completely different situation. In there, it took 2 minutes to get somewhere. Here, you have to plan like an hour in advance to get somewhere. And so, yeah, practice time, you have to kind of squeeze that in with life out here. And so I'm trying to get my bearings straight with that. So I practice as often as I'm able to.
And you're working. What do you do now?
I'm working with an accountant. She is training me and sending me to school to learn income tax. So that's what I'm doing now.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, listen, I want to, if there's anything else you want to tell us or you guys want to ask Sarah anything, please jump in. But I just wanted to say thank you. I know that you took time out of your workday to make this phone call, and I really appreciate it. And I think our listeners really benefited from hearing from you. And I just want to say thank you and invite you to, what would you like to leave us with, Sarah?
Just that I feel like that is a very valuable program. I support it tremendously. I'll continue to support it. And it added a very healthy element to my life that I'm going to keep forever. So, and I know that it does the same for the women in there. It's not a cure-all. It isn't a panacea, but it's definitely a healthy element that I think everyone should have in their life.
Well, that's great. So, Sarah, thank you so much. We'll let you go back to your job, and thanks a lot. And we'll see you, I guess, at the concert.
I hope so.
All right. Take care, and thank you.
Bye.
Well, that was great to hear from her. I'm really glad she was able to take the chance or take the time and give us a call. If you've just joined us, we're talking about the Highland Mountain Women's Orchestra, which is a really unique arts program, rehabilitative arts program at Highland Mountain. We've heard from the superintendent at the time on why he nodded yes to it, and I have the conductor, Gabby Whitfield, in the studio with me, and the founder, Patty Crowfoot. If you've got questions for our guests, I'd really encourage you to give us a call, or, you know, if you've got an old instrument and you wonder if that's the kind of thing they'd be interested in hearing about, maybe putting to use, you can give us a call, and we can talk about it, give you some advice. Our number is 550-8433, or if you're outside of Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. And you can send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org, and we can read it on the radio or just share it with our guests later. So anyway, what haven't we talked about the orchestra that we think is important to share with people who maybe have never been to the show? It's a holiday concert, so it's not necessarily, is it going to include hymns?
No hymns. I mean, it's also music that we've kind of worked on all year, so a lot of it's not necessarily holiday music, but I mean, the ladies decorated up for the holidays, and we have some holiday pieces there. But it's a really enjoyable show because it's a good balance between, you'll see people who've only been playing 2 or 3 months to, you know, my more advanced players, to someone like Zool Bailey, who's, you know, an international artist, to people from the Anchorage Symphony. So I really think it's an entertaining show.
Right.
And a lot of variety.
Right. You know, I do recall, and I meant to ask Sarah about this when she was on the phone, I've seen certain I mean, Dean called them offenders. I was thinking inmates. I'm not really sure of the language, but step up to the mic and tell their story during this concert. And some of those are very moving. How does that happen?
Gabby, I think she does a great job with the whole program. She asks for volunteers, and she gives them parameters for what they're going to say to explain maybe the names and the composers of the pieces, and then they add some personal pieces. The other personal part we're going to have to the program this year is the fiddling group that's led by Mary Schallert performs two songs, and both of the songs this year were written by women who lost their children when they became incarcerated. And so there's a lot of personal stories that are in these personal songs written by these women also. So it's a lot of our concert goers that go every year, and we have many that return year after year, take me aside, and they say this is how they kick off their holiday season. They feel it's a way to give back because they actually support our program by buying a ticket. They bring their family. It's a great place to take an adolescent to walk in, and it's a great lesson to say, you know, here's what happens when you travel the wrong path. And it's just a warm, heartfelt concert that everybody gets a lot of joy out of.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to ask this question. When you think about a concert in prison and you're looking up at those women on the stage, I think it's human nature to think, well, what did they do to get in here? You know, and that really isn't the story of the day. The story isn't really their crime. The story is the concert. The story is the rehabilitation for music, the chance to work with each other, to support each other. But I wondered, as people who are in there frequently, is it something that comes up and gets cleared away, or does it never come up? Is it something you're not supposed to talk about?
For me, I don't think it's ever come up. Like, no inmate there has ever been like, this is what I did to get in here. And they talk about that very rarely, which makes the rehearsals really refreshing, because we're totally focused on music, and sure, we laugh and have a good time, but we don't really bring all that baggage in there. But of course, I'll find out later by reading the news, or, you know, hearing, you know, so-and-so did something. And it is always shocking to hear those things, because they're such a great group of people, and I feel like I get to know them in a way that almost no one else does, you know, because I'm in a place with them where everything else has been stripped away. They're living a very structured life. And within that structure, they're really blossoming. And I just see so much potential and so much love and so much generosity towards each other. And it's made me realize that, you know, committing a crime is a really multifaceted thing. And no one person is encompassed in their crime completely. You know, they can't be, because these people have a lot of other things to offer the world. And I'm grateful that I get to see it. And I hope that they get to get out and kind of blossom on the outside, too.
Go on, move on. Yeah. How about you, Patty? Any thoughts about that from you?
I think I feel the same way. I had, before working with the women in Highland, I had done some teaching down in Seward at the correctional. And it's a very different prison down there. You go in and you're on microphone and it's intimidating because it's all men and everything. But working with the women here, I totally agree with Gabby. We just see one side of them, and it's a very positive side. They're struggling. They're succeeding some days and not succeeding other days, and having relationship problems just like us, wrestling with their weight. And there's more commonalities between us than differences, definitely, when we meet together on Saturdays.
So what's the routine like? I wanted to ask you, Gabby, do you work with them all year round, or do you just gear up for the concert? How does it work for you?
Typically, I work from them kind of like the school season. So we'll work from fall up to the following spring. And then for those 3 months off, I'm usually able to find like someone from the symphony who really wants to do some teaching there, and so they'll do some summer classes, maybe not every week in the summer, but they'll do some special workshops and stuff. So we typically meet hardcore during the school season.
Okay. And I was surprised to find out that they don't have to practice if they don't want in while they're incarcerated. But I would think they'd have to practice to stay in the orchestra.
Not necessarily. For me, it's more just I am so glad that they're there and they're interacting with other people in the class. And I always tell them, I say, you know, if you have not practiced all week, then you're going to practice with me right now for 1 hour. But just because you didn't practice, please don't skip class, because then they'll just drop out, you know?
Right.
And that's what happens. And it's just so important that they are there, and I'll accept them with whatever they can bring as long as they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them do get really serious about practicing, and especially around concert time, because what could be more motivating than knowing that all these people are going to come see you, and the media is looking at you, and Zool Bailey's going to play with you. And I mean, if that's not motivating, what is, you know? So I think around crunch time, they always come through for me and really put in the work in the last month or so.
Right. Do they get performance jitters that you have to calm down? Or are they pretty?
They do, but actually, I think we're really pretty solid when it comes to the actual performance. And even if not, it's like life, you know. There's mistakes, and then you move on, and it's sort of like a metaphor for what they're going through.
Right.
And so they've been through a lot worse, I think, than messing up at a concert. So
yeah,
for them, it's like, for concert day, it's so celebratory because their families are there, and everybody's just applauding them for whatever efforts they put forth. And there's never anything negative, I don't think, when we get to the actual performance.
Right.
I think that's true. And they wear concert black outfits and makeup. And
it's a very special day for them.
It's very special.
Mm-hmm.
And I go shopping at Costco the day before, and we bring them a great lunch with pies and ice cream that we eat in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So it's a big deal.
Big high
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I had another question. Oh, I wanted to know if they actually perform for other inmates, or is it because I don't believe there's inmates in the audience.
Right. Yeah. They do perform before we do the public concerts. They do a shorter performance for the inmates. And that's always especially moving, because especially when the fiddling group sings the songs the women have written, there's people crying in the audience. There'll be people crying over the soloist playing. You can just see it really impacts them, because they don't get to see those sorts of things very often. So
right.
It's very powerful.
Right. You know, another thing I want to make sure we let people know is, you know, who's paying for this? How did, you know, all these are donated instruments. Your Gabby, your time is donated. Patty, your time is donated. I mean, it's really not costing the state of Alaska anything to have this program.
Oh, no, Alaska doesn't pay anything for this program. I figure the program costs about $12,000 a year. And that's no matter how many people we have in there, if we have 40 or if we have 30. It's driven by the ticket sales. The ticket sales are $30 a ticket. We've received small grants over the years. This year, we were really fortunate to get a grant from the Alaska Community Foundation to help us with our social media. But basically, it's the ticket sales, which I'm really proud of, because what that means is it means that the women are paying for their own program. They're performing, they're practicing, and we're selling the tickets for them. And so essentially, they're funding their own program.
Mm-hmm.
And the money that we spend from this $12,000 is we buy their outfits. We occasionally buy instruments. We make instrument repairs. We buy music. And we do have a conductor's wage. And I wanted to have a conductor's wage because I didn't want a conductor being a volunteer. I wanted somebody out there every single week showing up and taking it seriously. And so I think it's really important to have a paid conductor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically where our money goes. So it's a really lean program. And I think at one time I figured out it costs about $450 per musician per year.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And now, if we haven't heard from people calling in to tell us they've got instruments, but if people want to get in touch with you, do you just give out your email? Or?
Well, they can go to our website.
Okay.
And they can contact me through the website.
Okay. All right. So that's artsontheedge.org.
Yeah.
So if you do have an instrument and you just aren't sure yet or want to find out whether it would be acceptable, you can go to artsontheedge.org. So let's see, what else did I had lots of questions I want to ask you. I wondered if inmates' families ever talk to you. Do they ever come up and say anything to you?
Yeah, especially now when I'm hearing from, I have to hear from everyone. I have to get their names and their Alaska driver's license numbers.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The logistics of getting into prison.
The logistics. So I get these amazing emails from inmates, relatives, and from concert goers that go year after year after year.
Can you think of an example of the kind of thing people say?
They're just really heartwarming. They're just thank you so much for bringing this program so that my daughter can be exposed to music and can participate in this. She's so proud of herself. We're so proud of her.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And yeah. I get a lot of pleasure out of seeing the little kids that show up to see their moms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we've got a caller. Karen's called in. Hi, Karen. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Hi. Hi. Hi, guys.
Do you know Patty and Gabby?
Sort of. I played with the orchestra a couple of years ago. I just played for a year, and I feel a little bit guilty about dropping out of the orchestra.
Oh, it's okay. I remember you. You were wonderful.
And so I just want to try to make it up a little bit by calling in and encouraging people to come to the concert. It's an incredible experience. It's very heartwarming, and it's understandable that people may have some trepidation or be a little bit anxious about going into a prison. But if they have that, by the time they're seated and hear the music, it's going to all go away. It's an incredible experience.
So you were a community musician who sat in with them?
Yes, I did for a year.
What did you play?
Cello.
Cello? Uh-huh. And it does sound like it really had an impact on you. I mean, it sounds like you really felt something with that opportunity.
It was. I'm kind of starting to tear up right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow. Go ahead.
I'm a musician also. Cello is not my main instrument by any means, but of all the musical experiences I've had in my life of, maybe 30 or so years of playing music, playing with the orchestra is certainly towards the top.
Well, that's really nice. I really appreciate you taking the time to call in. And that's a perspective we hadn't heard yet from someone who's just sat in with the orchestra from the community. And what made you decide to do it? Did you get an invitation or did you just see it in the paper and decide, I'm going to do this?
Well, I'm an attorney by training, actually. And so I've been in and out of a number of prisons around the state. And I had wanted to learn how to play the cello, and like Patty explained earlier, when you're playing by yourself, it's kind of lonely. It's good to have a group to play with. And so I had been going to the concerts for a few years, and I asked about playing and sitting in with the orchestra, and they graciously allowed me to do it, and did it for a year. And then, stuff gets busy, and sitting in the closet.
Oh, well, maybe you'll be back someday. Maybe when your life gets less busy, who knows? I don't know. But it's great that you did it once. And thanks for so much for calling in and sharing what that was like.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for having this program today. Thanks a lot.
You bet. You bet. We still have plenty of time. I want to make sure we remind folks about the process, about tickets, the date. So let's kind of do a little bit of roundup on that. There's December 8th is the concert this year. It's at the Highland Mountain Correctional Center. You buy your tickets in advance and they close off early. That was something I thought we should let people know. Saturday is the 8th. So
the ticket sales close off by the 7th because people have to be cleared.
Right. And so it's not just buying your ticket. It's emailing Patty and giving your license plate number,
driver's license number, and name.
And then that gets moved out to
Highland. And then I send it into Highland.
So then they run through. And I guess if you have an outstanding crime, you might want not make this the year that you go out there because they'll find out about it.
We've only had two people in the last 9 years that have not been cleared.
Oh, well, that's good.
So that's a pretty good rate.
That is.
Yeah, that's good. And want to let you know that if you don't know anything about this this organization and what it's done here for nearly a decade, go to alaskapublic.org. We've got some of the historical articles about it, including Mike Dugan's column when he brought in a sea of instruments by just writing about the need for it. And it, some interesting profiles, some recent ones. Sarah Kaufman was on the show today. She was in Highland Mountain, played with the orchestra, and will be back this year playing again, but leaving at the end of the at the end of the event, which is you know, a tribute to her and her success. So so anyway, what else can we tell folks about that we haven't touched on that you think is important?
When Sarah was talking on the radio about 10 minutes ago, she was talking about an orchestra that she is involved with now outside. And that orchestra is Society of Strings, and it's been started by Catherine Holfer from the Anchorage Symphony. And it's for intermediate string players, which
adults.
Is adults. But she's also made it a transitional orchestra for the women coming out of Highland. Mm. So now all the women that get released have a place to go in the community to continue playing music.
Oh, that's really...
That was always the big thing, is people would get out and they had nowhere to go, you know, because where is there when you're kind of an adult beginner? Where is there to go in town?
Right. And me being an adult beginner in my own life, I know it's really hard. And I think it's that adults don't like to be so bad.
Right. Because by the time you're an adult, you know that you sound bad, you know.
Yeah.
Versus if you're four, it doesn't really dawn on you as much.
Yeah. And I mean, how do you help folks get over that?
I think a lot of it has to do with doing that mentoring thing I was telling you again, where they're all rally around each other and like, don't you quit. I know it sounds bad, and it will for the next 5 years, you know, but just keep going. And then they get hooked on it. But more so, they get hooked on the music, of course, but they get hooked on the community, I think, even more so.
Yeah. You know, do you think art can save people? Do you think it really saves people, or do you think it's just them saving themselves?
I oftentimes think about that because I do see recidivism in my orchestra. Like, I have some players who've been in, you know, four or five times, and I just keep seeing them. But I think, in a way, even though it's not keeping them, you know, out of jail, when they're in jail, it's saving them, you know, from probably just going crazy and having something positive to do, even if it's within the walls of a prison. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of our motto is always, music is freedom. And it really does make them feel free. Even if they're still in the jail, it's bringing them a lot of happiness and peace and making life within that place much easier to live for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, your guest artists, you're going to have Zool. What's Zool's last name?
Zool Bailey.
Do they slide right in? Are they comfortable, or do they have a little intimidation factor when they come in?
They've been great
so far.
They've been
really
good. Our guests have been amazing, especially Armin Kazikian.
Yeah.
They actually play with the beginners, many of them, during the concert, and play with the advanced. They do their solo, and they've been very approachable.
Yeah, and it was heartwarming to see them with these beginners, you know, just playing along with these wonderful artists. And
really... You know, another thing we should probably do is give a shout out to the local musicians who step in. Can you tell us who they are? Is it a huge group, or is it?
It's a group of about 12 or 13 people, and they're just, you know, players that you'd see all the time in the Anchorage Symphony. Like Catherine Helfer is going to come, and some of the principal players from there. And they're the ones that we always have back from year to year, and the women just love them and have really kind of formed a bond with them, I think, because they see them every year, and I think they'll have a face they can remember when they get out of jail, you know, even if it means they're just at an Anchorage Symphony concert and they see them playing.
Yeah.
They've made a connection with somebody in the Anchorage arts community.
So life after prison.
Yeah.
So we've got just a little bit of time. I wanted to let Patty leave us with something, and Gabby, leave us with something. What would you say?
I think that's true. I think it's really important that they've been associating with these people from the music community. I had one of the ex-inmates Facebook me just yesterday telling me that she had gone to the Nutcracker. And that just made me feel great.
That's great. Well, you can hear our theme music. It's time for me to roll up. Thank you to my guest, Patty Crowfoot, founder of the Highland Mountain Correctional Center Women's String Orchestra, and to Gabby Whitfield, who's conducting and has for several years and is back this year. Thanks again to Dean Marshall, who called in from Bethel, and Sarah Kaufman, a former inmate. And thanks to all our callers. Next week on Hometown Alaska, join host Shelley Wade, and her topic is Alaska aviation and bush pilots. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is the Vice President of Public Media, and Dave Waldron saw us through the show as our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Home Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.